marriage, hauntings, murder. We've got it all. A husband and wife talking about all things real, scary, and truthful. Welcome to our podcast.
What up, everybody?
What up?
What are you looking at?
Nothing. The dog.
Like, is there something happening? What's going on? We are clearly super dressed up for this episode. If you are watching, I'm in my pajamas. Eric is also in his pajamas, lounge clothes.
Close enough.
We're chilling. We're chilling today. We're supposed to get snow tomorrow, so I'm warm. And we were supposed to go watch Scream. But if we're snowed in, we can't. And now I'm upset. So.
Just watch the other ones.
That's not the same. I want to watch a brand new one.
Just find a bootleg.
And I don't want to get spoiled because people on the internet like to spoil shit.
Stay off the internet.
Okay. I won't be on the internet, people, so I don't know how you're going to get this podcast.
You don't have to look at anything specific to
put
this podcast up.
But, like, people will be like, went and watched Scream today. Da-da-da happened. Bitch.
I've never seen a spoiler for anything.
I see spoilers all the time.
Because you're looking for them.
No, I'm not. No, I ain't.
You follow the wrong people then.
I used to have a friend on Facebook that would spoil The Walking Dead as it was happening. Like, they would post on Facebook, like, they were literally when Glenn died, they spoiled it.
You shouldn't be on Facebook.
And I'm like, bitch. Not everybody watches it immediately. Who does that?
I mean, it sounds like your own fault, really.
That's not my fault.
Stay off social media.
No.
Well.
Sorry, people.
That's what you get then.
You won't know about our podcast because I have to stay off of everything because other people can't keep their mouth shut.
You have to do it once a week.
No. You have to promote shit because Eric doesn't do anything. Let's just go ahead and say that.
No, I don't do anything for this podcast.
This is it. You're looking at it / hearing it.
That's assault. Don't touch me again. This is all I have to do.
Okay.
That's all I signed on to do. And I'm questioning that.
You're never leaving.
Actually,
bro.
I didn't sign on for nothing.
Nobody did. I didn't.
You did. Nobody's... You chose to do a podcast, and you're like, I want you to be in this episode. And I said no for months.
You're smoking crack. No, it is
not.
Yeah,
you started a podcast.
What?
Before I was even on it.
This podcast.
A podcast.
It was not this one.
I'm not talking about this one.
And then during the pandemic, when we were bored at home.
Wait, nothing changed here.
When we were bored at home because there was nowhere to go and nothing to do. And even our favorite restaurant was closed in town. I said, do you want to do a true crime podcast? And you said, sure.
Oh my God.
It's like in our description for everything.
Check the tape.
I will check the tape. Oh my God. He is full of shit.
I think I was just supposed to be a special guest once.
No. Why would I was like, literally, I said, we'll call it Marriage, Hauntings, and Murder because we're doing it together.
That didn't happen.
Am I in the Twilight Zone?
I think I am. Maybe we both are.
I remember it. But you don't even remember what you did this morning. So.
Yeah, I got up and went to work.
My God. Well.
Either way, this is all I signed on to do.
Yeah, well, apparently he didn't even think he signed on for that, so.
I didn't sign any contracts.
I didn't either. Hi, Cass. You look so cute. Oh, my goodness. So, now that we got that out of the way. Or did we? I don't know, really.
I'm over it.
Where this was going. You need to get your brain checked, bruh.
Probably.
Anyway. Who's ready for some crime?
Me.
Well, who knows if you're watching the video how that's going to turn out because it just stopped recording by itself. It might stop in the middle of this episode. Who the hell knows? I guess I'll have to check every once in a while, but that was weird. Because I didn't touch it. And you I obviously didn't touch it. Maybe it was like, quit fighting.
That's not fighting. That's called I'm right and you're wrong.
Whatever you say, bruh. I'll just like scoot it over like this. I can still see that it's recording and I can still see what we're talking about. So,
can you?
Can I what?
See it.
We've been going on for 48 seconds.
Cool, cool.
So, tried to be cool, didn't work out.
I will try that later.
If you, Eric's on Twitter all the time, so he's probably seen this, but we were talking about someone who was crazy pants that just recently died. Robert Durst. Did you see that on the Twitter?
No. I don't know who Robert Durst is.
Well, he was a convicted murderer.
Murderer.
He was a murderer. He was suspected serial killer. And okay, this is third time's the charm. And if it doesn't work, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to, nobody touch the table. This is why crimes are going to be committed in this house. So, anyways, Robert Durst is who we're talking about today.
Is he related to Fred Durst?
I don't think so. His daddy was named Seymour Durst.
Seymour Butts.
I knew you were going to say that. What was the guy that one time? Dick Pointer. Remember?
Yeah.
And we had to stop the podcast because we were laughing so hard.
You are immature.
No. You were laughing too. Mm-mm. I can't remember what episode that was, but that was really funny. So yeah, we are immature. Anyway, Seymour Durst was his father. And he had a brother, Douglas Fred? Durst. No.
Doug Durst?
Doug Durst. Durst. He was head of the Durst organization, and his dad was a real estate salesman. So I guess he was just the heir of a real estate salesman.
It's been pretty good if they're calling him the heir of the real estate salesman.
Yeah. So Robert Durst first gained attention because his wife disappeared, and they were like, "What'd you do with her?
You did it,
bruh." Then later he murdered a friend of his, and, then later he killed a neighbor. So.
Friend and a neighbor? Don't. And his wife?
Don't, well, we don't know about the wife.
Well, do we?
Or do we?
He killed his friend and his neighbor.
So he was born in New York City, New York in 1943. And they also called him Bobby, you know, if you want to call him something else. Yeah. He went to college and he had two wives, obviously not at the same time. No, he did not have them at the same time. And yeah. Bobby. Bobby Durst. His mom died early when he was young. I think he was like 7. Yeah. And she fell off the roof and died.
Doing what?
A crazy way to go. I don't know. I guess she was maybe working. I don't know. She was on the roof.
Did she fall off the roof?
She fell off the roof.
Was that his first victim?
No. He was like 7. And he was inside when it happened.
I was on the roof when I was 7.
Okay, but he was inside.
So he says.
What? Were you there?
Obviously not.
Okay, then hush yo booty. He was the oldest of 4 kids, so he was a wonderful older brother, apparently. I was going to say they should have stopped at the first one, but I guess their first one was a good thing they had more, because this guy was garbage.
What was he garbage while they were alive?
I don't know.
Obviously not, because he was 7 when his mom died.
Well, he's dead. So let's talk about his wife. We don't really care. Do we care about his personal life? Because there's a lot. I don't care about it.
No, I don't.
I don't care. I don't care about it. We know he went to college. We know he had brothers and sisters.
Went to college to get more knowledge.
And then murder. Don't go to college, people. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, don't listen to that.
I went to college. And now look at me.
No knowledge.
Damn. Quit. Give me it.
Quit. No, it's going to work once.
So, Kathleen McCormick Durst was his first wife. She was a dental hygienist, and they met in 1971.
Not even
completely
close.
Different. So they went on two dates, and then he was like, you should move in with me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, ladies. Red flag. Don't do that.
You would have moved in with me after two dates.
No, I would not have.
Yes, you would. Or else.
Yeah.
Maybe he told her or else.
Yeah. Move in with me or else. They moved to Vermont where he lived. And he opened up a health food store. So.
Snooze fest.
Oh, my God. He eventually moved to Manhattan because his dad was like, move back home. Move back home. So his dad pressured him into moving back home, and they moved back home, and they got married on April 12th, 1973, which just so happened to be Bobby's 30th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy wedding.
Happy birthday, you piece of shit.
He's not a piece of shit yet.
You future piece of shit.
So... she was going to college. She was, when she disappeared, she was at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. So she was obviously knowledgeable. And that was in the Bronx. And she was going to be a pediatrician. So.
That's what I said. No, I said how sad.
Oh. So she was last seen by somebody else besides Bobby. That's what I'm calling him, by the way. Instead of Robert, we're Bobby. Bobby level now. On January 31st, 1982, when she was at, just like showed up at a dinner party that was thrown by one of her friends in Connecticut. And they were like, oh, didn't know you were coming. And she was like wearing like red sweatpants. Like she was not dressed for dinner party attire. So she's like she went looking like us pretty much.
What are you trying to say?
Classy. her friend thought that was weird, but they didn't say anything about it. Let me just go ahead and stop right there. If you think something's weird, say something. Like, excuse me.
If you see something, say something.
Yes.
That's what they tell you at the movie theater too.
Yeah. If you see a mofo recording.
I don't care about people recording.
Or looking suspect. Say something. And if your friend shows up to a dinner party in red sweatpants and you think it's weird, go, hey, girl, what you wearing that for?
It's all it fits her right now.
Oh, my God. Eric's favorite movie is Mean Girls, so.
I don't know what favorite, but it's up there.
No free ads.
No free ads.
She was going to go home. And because she called her husband, and apparently when she got home, they argued and they fought, which I feel like every time somebody goes missing, that's the first thing they say. Well, they were arguing. They were arguing. I argue. I haven't went missing yet. Neither has he. Yet.
I will never go missing.
So, Bobby said that they got into a fight, and then he put her on a train. Like, he was like, look, we're getting on each other's nerves. Go to New York City, like, live your life, have a good time. Maybe we'll fix this, maybe not, da-da-da. And then he went back home to have a drink with a neighbor because he was upset. And then he said later, he talked to her. That evening, like she was at their Manhattan apartment. So he says he did talk to her that evening once she got there. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Probably not.
And then later he said, I went home and went to bed. He said, that's what I told police. I was hoping that it would just make everything go away.
He killed her. Without a doubt.
He killed her. So, apparently, after she left her friend's house, they were supposed to go to a pub in Manhattan, and she didn't show up. First red flag. Her friend got concerned, and she called the police for days. Days before they were like, okay, I guess we'll say she's a missing person. That's so stupid. If I think somebody's missing, just listen to me. Wouldn't you think I would know? Like, if I was like, Eric's missing, my mom's missing. Don't you think I would know? Like, it's not like I'm like, Carlita down the street's missing. If I know this person, I think I would know. Is all I'm saying. Yeah, but
think of all the false reports police officers get.
I know, but the first 48 hours are the most important.
In a missing person.
If missing.
Yeah, and then a murder, it's 72 hours.
That's what I'm saying. So, I don't know. That drives me insane when people just don't listen, but whatever. So, look, I got on a rant and then forgot where I was. Shouldn't show up. Missing person. Okay. So, the doorman of the building and the superintendent of the building that they lived at said that they saw her on February, but...
On February what?
The first day of February. And, but they couldn't be certain that it was her. They're like, well, we saw her. And then they were like,
oh, maybe.
I don't know. It could have been her. Could have not been her. The doorman later said that he did not see her arrive at all because he didn't even know if he was working that night. So why would you say it?
He changed his tune.
Yeah.
Bobby must have got to him.
Bobby got to him. All of her possessions from the building were in the building's trash compactor, though. And this was all figured out by a private investigator hired by Bobby's own criminal lawyer. So why would you go through the stages of hiring a criminal investigator if you didn't murder her?
You mean if you did murder her?
Either way. I don't know.
He did it.
So a few weeks before her disappearance, she was treated at a hospital for bruises, like on her face. And she said that Bobby beat her up. But she didn't press charges on him, but she did ask for a divorce, and she won a $250,000 divorce settlement.
Killed her.
Eric's like, will you just please listen to me? So instead of doing that, he canceled her credit card, took her name off the bank account, and wouldn't pay her medical school tuition.
I mean.
So he's like, oh, you want money from me? Mm-mm.
Why would you and then pay canceled all that stuff? They're not together.
No, they were. They weren't divorced. So then when she disappeared, he had already been dating somebody.
Maybe somebody did it.
So then he was like, she disappeared. I'll offer up $100,000 for her return and then reduced it to $15,000.
Spent it.
Songbird
singing a new song.
When her friends and her sister found out that she had been reported missing, they broke into her house hoping to find her, but the cottage that she lived in was ransacked. The mail was unopened and all of her belongings were in the trash can. So it's like her friends were looking for her and he was like at first like, oh yeah, whatever, and then he's like, yeah, $15,000. What?
I don't know.
Why are you making that face? So
he still killed her.
Okay. So after she disappeared, the police department said that he claimed to last spoken to her when she called him at their apartment. And the last time he saw her was when he dropped her off at the station, because he's sticking to that story. And she was supposed to board at 9:15, and that he also said on February 4th, the medical school called him and said that she had called in sick on the first. So the medical school supposedly told him that they had talked to her on February 1st and she had called in. I don't know how true that is.
They didn't check with the school.
If it was her who made the call, they couldn't prove it. And after he got the call the next day, he reported her missing. And they're like, look, no, your story doesn't make any sense. Like, none of this makes any sense.
He killed her.
So, 8 years after she had been disappeared.
After she disappeared? Well. You got disappeared.
You got disappeared, son. He divorced her, and he claimed spousal abandonment.
8 years, though.
Well, he already had a girlfriend. I guess he didn't care about that. In 2016, her family asked to have her declared legally dead, and her mother attempted to sue Durst for $1 million, saying that he killed her and deprived them of the right to bury her.
That'll be $1 million, sir.
Well, yeah. But her parents are now dead. She does have a younger sister that is alive that still thinks that he did it. And, let's see. In 1999, the New York State Police reopened the case, searching for her, and it became public in 2000. And, let's see. There was a wrongful death suit against him because this guy is just getting hit with things left and right at this point. And this was filed by one of her sisters named Carol, but it was dismissed on the ground that she had waited too long to file. Because it had been, 10 years probably at this point, if not longer. They did change the day of her disappearance to January instead of February. And, because that was when she supposedly disappeared, was when he put her on the train, is what they're going with, instead of February 1st. But, like, nothing ever happened with it. He was charged later in a different case, but we haven't talked about that, so. So you think he killed her for sure?
Yes. Not even a question.
Yes, not even a question. So, I don't know. I think he did too, for sure. But what did you do? What did he do with her?
Well, that's between him and the Lord now.
Where's she at? Where is she at? Okie dokie. I had to plug my computer in because it was dying. So, then, after that,
it worked.
Give me it.
No.
Give me it. Mom. Then put it down. I'm about to set Eric on fire. This is ridiculous.
Well, that's on camera.
And it's on our podcast. But he is a man child. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? So, Susan was a longtime friend of Bobby. And she's the one that he murdered. Susan Berman was her name. And she was like facilitating his alibi after his wife disappeared. So she was like his friend. Like, she was like, this is what he did. He said he went home. So she was like, friend. And he's like, not good enough.
Killed her?
I said murder.
He killed that lady?
Yes.
That's the friend?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow.
Who did you think I was talking about? So, on December 4th, 2000, she was found murdered in her home execution style.
Like what? Shot in the back of the head, tied behind her back?
Shot in the back of the head. Somebody called the cops because they said that her front door was open and one of her dogs was loose. So the cops went over and found her murdered in her home. A few days after she was found, a letter was sent to the police department in Beverly Hills, and it was postmarked December 23rd. It had her address on it and the word cadaver. So the envelope said Beverly, but it was misspelled Beverly, B-E-V-E-R-L-E-Y, instead of just L-Y. He was said to have been in Northern California before she was killed and then flown to San Francisco, from San Francisco to New York the night that her body was discovered. So I don't know. But he had recently given her $50,000 in... She had recently given him $50,000 in two payments, but they don't know why. And, let's see, I think he confirmed it and then said that he had a deposition I can't read today. Can we all just get that together?
No, this isn't making sense to me.
Let me go back. He gave her $50,000 in two payments. I think I said it right the first time and then I got confused and now we're back. So he gave her $50,000 in two payments. He told the police that he had sent her $25,000 and faxed investigators a copy of the 1982 deposition regarding his missing wife, and he declined to be further questioned about her murder. Woo!
Yikes.
Let me get through. Maybe I should go take a nap at 7 o'clock at night. He also said that she called him shortly before her death to tell him that the cops wanted to talk to her about his wife's disappearance. Why can't I talk today?
I don't know, but it's hard to follow for me.
It's hard to follow for me. So, let me try again. She called him before she died and said the cops wanted to talk to her about his missing wife.
So we killed her.
Are we on the same page now?
Yeah. You could have just said that from the beginning. I didn't need to know about the payments or anything. He killed her.
You could have just said that from the beginning. Apparently, I can't say anything because I may have been drinking and don't realize it. Anyway. So, they aren't sure if the police actually did that or not. Or if he was making it up. Because I guess maybe he wants to make it seem like she killed herself. But if that was going to happen, why would you do it like someone shot you execution style?
How
could you do it? Maybe like upside down? Like your arm, not you.
I didn't think, as in me, my body, dummy. That would just be upside down, not backward.
So
you got to stand on your head.
That, I mean, I guess, depending on what, I didn't say what kind of weapon it was. You could do that.
Maybe it would be at an angle. I need to know how the bullet entered and exited.
Well, I couldn't find that. So, bum, bum, bum. After all this happened and they reopened the case against his wife, he disguised himself and went into hiding and moved to Texas. He pretended that he was a woman. A mute woman, to be exact.
Smart.
So he was like, I'm going to go to Texas and pretend to be a mute woman. And then, like, if anybody, like, noticed him, he'd be like.
Yeah.
That was I'm a woman, if you couldn't tell.
In sign language?
No, in just.
In mime?
Yeah, I'm a mime. Let me out of the box.
That is the worst mime I've ever seen.
I've never went to mime school.
Who has? Is mime school real?
I don't know.
It's on TV or something. It's not. People don't go to school to be a mime.
How do people get good at being a mime?
They practice. Not at school.
This isn't good.
No. What's it supposed to be?
When you're in a box.
You are not in a box. What's that?
Pulling a rope?
No, it's not.
What's this? Death.
I don't know what that was.
I was pulling a rope.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Pulling a rope.
What do you think I'm doing?
You look like the kid off that video that's, I said,
I'm going to my room.
I'm going to my room. That's what you look like.
This is how you pull a rope.
No, it's not.
How do you pull a rope?
That's not any rope I require. I'm not a mime. I don't know.
We are off topic. Yeah. Big time.
But we've discovered you are a terrible mime. That is not in your future.
Listen, I never claimed to be a mime. But I will be now. That's my new goal.
Great.
He moved to Texas pretending to be a woman. Well, on October 9th of 2001, he was arrested in Texas after body parts belonging to his elder neighbor was found in the river.
How did they know it was him? He's supposed to be a mute woman.
I guess they figured out he was a non-mute man.
How'd they get past that
disguise? He was released on bail of $250,000, and he missed a court hearing on the 16th, and then a warrant was issued on his arrest for bail jumping.
Yep.
So, he's got a lot going on. They found him on November 30th inside a Wegmans supermarket in Pennsylvania, because he was trying to shoplift Band-Aids. What?
He had a boo-boo.
He was also trying to shoplift a newspaper and a chicken salad sandwich.
Man, just shoplifting everyday items.
He thought he had cash in his pocket,
just
he
a
said.
Regular Sunday.
Or no, he did have $500 of cash in his pocket, but he wanted to steal anyway.
Was he himself or a mute woman?
I don't know. It doesn't say. They went through his rental car because he had one of those. They found They found $37,000 in cash, two guns, marijuana, and his neighbor's driver's license. They also found directions to the home in Connecticut of his wife's friend, the Najimi person. So he just had a lot going on.
They arrested him because he got caught stealing?
That's how they found him. He was
all
shoplifting and
took
then
a damn chicken sandwich.
And some Band-Aids in a newspaper. He also used to stalk his brother. And, you know, because you can't just go see your brother. He was held on charges in Pennsylvania, but they moved him to Texas for the trial because that's where they found the body, obviously. So, in 2003, the trial happened for the murder of his, almost said husband, but his neighbor. And the prosecution presented the jury with premeditated first-degree murder and no lesser than murder or manslaughter charges. And his attorney was trying to say that it was self-defense.
He dismembered him in self-defense?
Listen, he was trying to fight me. I fought off the old man. And then in self-defense, I cut his body up and put it in the river. Have a great day. I don't know.
Don't think that's
that doesn't
that,
even
that,
make
don't think
any
that
sense.
Defense is going to work.
I God, I literally do not understand. I don't know. They also said that Bobby had Asperger's syndrome. And they were like, well, that's why he has this behavior. You know how many people I know that have like autism or Asperger's, or they're just on the spectrum in general and they haven't killed anybody or shoplifted a chicken salad sandwich?
Asperger's, which is asshole syndrome.
He doesn't have that. He's just a bitch. That's what he is. So, Bobby said that his neighbor was going to shoot him. But I'm like, why was he going to shoot you, though? Like, tell me that. And so The neighbor was going to shoot him. He had his 22, and Bobby was like, I don't think so. And so he grabbed it, and then the pistol discharged and shot him in the face. And he was like, oh, no. But then...
then chopped him up?
I mean, you know. He used a paring knife, two saws, and an axe to dismember his body before bagging it and putting it in the Galveston Bay. But they do say that the head was never discovered. Seems like self-defense to me. Any smart person would say that. No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I get defense attorneys. Like, you got to come up with some shit sometimes, but... self-defense in this case just doesn't make any sense. Insanity would have been a good one.
I think that's bullshit anyway. You shouldn't be able
but to I'm saying insanity. If you're gonna go with something, maybe pick that one.
You're just a bad apple.
Self-defense is stupid. So they didn't find his head, so they couldn't present sufficient evidence to say that the struggle happened, because, you know, he said he got shot in the face. So they don't know how true that is because they don't have the head. And from the lack of forensics, the jury acquitted Bobby of murder on November 11th, 2003. So he chopped him up, put him in a bag, did all this stuff, but he didn't murder him.
Well, they obviously couldn't prove it.
But I'm saying...
the mute woman?
The mute woman, Robert Durst. On December 21st, 2004, he did plead guilty to bail jumping and evidence tampering. So he did do that. He did own up to something. He got 5 years and was given credit for time served. So he only had to serve 3 years in prison. He got parole in 2005. And they were like, you have to stay near your home. Okay. Like, don't go anywhere else. We're sick of you. Stop it. Right? And he was like, no. I'm not going to do that. And he had to go back to jail. But then he was released in 2006. So he really was just like, it was like he was like, what else can I do? And do you think I can get away with it? Is what it feels like. His life was like.
Got away with murder, but got caught stealing a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. So, somebody was asked in 2015 if they believed that he did murder his neighbor, and they were like, he knew what he was doing. It wasn't the first time. The body was cut perfectly like a surgeon who knew how to use a tool and bone on that kind of muscle. This was not a first-time job, and that's scary. Well, no, because his wife is missing, and he killed his friend, now his elderly neighbor. I mean, I guess he didn't cut Susan up, but who the hell knows what he did with his ex-wife. So, in 2015, we're going to have to watch this because we've never watched this. There was a 6-part documentary on HBO about him.
6 parts?
Called The Jinx, Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. And I've heard of The Jinx before, but I didn't really know, like, all of this information. And it described pretty much everything you ever needed to know about his ex-wife, about his, I almost said sister, about his friend, and obviously the killing of his neighbor. His wife at the time also gave interviews and allowed them access to their personal records. Why would you do that?
But why were they filming him then?
Because he had probably done so much shit that they were like, let's get, you know, people, if you commit a crime, they're going to make a documentary about you. So, and who knows, I don't know when it started filming, but it was released in 2015.
That's too many parts.
Oh my God.
I won't be interested.
We're watching like a many, many season show right now about security cameras catching
people. Every episode's
about
somebody different. I just can't. I won't be interested for all 6 episodes.
Well, I can't help you.
He's not that interesting, really. Unless he did something else.
Well, the documentary ends with him going into the bathroom where his microphone is still recording him. Because it's like people forget they're still mic'd up. And he's saying to himself, quote, There it is. You're caught. You're right in front of course, but you can't imagine. Arrest him. I don't know what's in the house. Oh, I want this. What a disaster. He was right. I was wrong. And the burping. I'm having difficulty with the question. What the hell did I do? Kill them all, of course. And it later became known in 2019 that the filmmakers altered the sequence of his comments, increasing the apparent severity of his musings in the bathroom.
Well, spoiler alert. Now we don't have to watch it.
So, I don't know. I guess they used it as evidence, but they couldn't use it as evidence at the same time. So in 2015.
Oh my God. Are we
done? I'm telling you, this guy, it never ends. So in 2015. There was a first degree murder warrant out for him, and he was arrested on March 14th in New Orleans, where he was registered under a false name. Do you think it was a man or a woman name?
A woman.
It was a woman name, and her name was Yvette Ward.
Not mute.
Not mute, I guess, because he was in New Orleans. Probably gambling. Well, I guess it doesn't say. Oh, no, it says he was mumbling to himself, so not mute. Yvette was not mute. He had a .38 caliber revolver that was loaded and more marijuana and a birth certificate and a passport. He also had maps of Louisiana, Florida, and Cuba. And he had a flesh-toned latex mask, a fake ID, cards to check into the hotel, a new cell phone, $42,000 in cash. It's like the most random stuff you could ever have.
Not for a criminal.
I guess. He's ready for everything. They also had a UPS tracking number, which led to additional $100,000 plus in cash and a pair of shoes. Here's your money and your shoes, yeah, so you can go for a run. Like, what? They think that after the documentary aired, he was going to go to Cuba, obviously. That was his plan. And I guess be Yvette there. I don't know. This guy is just makes no...
Does he look feminine?
No. This is what he looked like in jail.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper.
So if you think the Crypt Keeper is feminine, I guess, then maybe... So they got him on a firearm charge because he had a gun.
Yeah.
Why are you stressed?
I thought it was something different.
What?
I thought it was another thing about him.
Oh.
I don't want to hear anything else about this guy.
What else has he done? Basically, he was arrested for the gun and got 85-month prison sentence.
That's not that long.
How long is 85 months?
12 months in a year.
So like 7 or 8 years?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Did he go to women's prison?
Was Yvette imprisoned or was
women's
it
prison
Bobby?
For the mute?
So he had a trial in 2020 about Susan's killing, and it was set to begin in Los Angeles. But the
COVID, let me guess, COVID.
No, he had a serious surgery.
Oh.
Eric's like, COVID. COVID. It was COVID.
Everything, damn COVID.
So, are you going to make it?
He had a surgery, wait, in prison? He's still in prison, right?
Right now?
He was in prison going to this court case?
Yes. He had to have surgery. I didn't look up what it was. I didn't figure you'd care, and I didn't care.
I don't care.
If you need to know what a surgery was, Google it. You got
him out of court. That's all we know.
At your fingertips. He began his trial March 2020, and then they were postponed due to what?
COVID.
They were going to try to get a mistrial, but they were like, nah, we're not going to do that. So they allowed the trial to proceed if he agreed to a bench trial without a jury. And he said no. So then they were like, fuck it, we'll have a trial April of 2021. So he had to wait a whole year. And then it was postponed until May.
Due to COVID.
Then, May 13th, they tried to say that he had developed bladder cancer. And we should just release him on bail because he's got bladder cancer and he's old. And they were like, no. Like, we're so sick of this motherfucker. Put him on trial. Just, like, put him on trial for anything. Did he jaywalk? Put him on trial. Put him in jail. And let's never have to deal with him ever again. Like, that's what I would think. Because that's how I think reading the story. So that's just what I would think.
Yeah, I'm over this guy. there's no way I'll watch that HBO show.
Eric's like, I hate him and his crimes. So he was hospitalized June 10th on your birthday, after being found down and not in his wheelchair. And, they were going to resume on June 14th, but they were like, I don't know. So, on July 29th, because this never ends, they were going to try to emergency halt because he was still in poor condition and that he wasn't able to testify on his own. But they were like, no, we're still sick of him. So on September 27th, 2021, the jury convicted him of first-degree murder of Susan Berman, facing the possibility of a life sentence. He was also found guilty on other charges, and his lawyers were just really disappointed because they couldn't believe it. Bitch, after, 30-plus years,
yeah,
put his ass in jail, we're done with him. So, on October 14th, 2021, he was sentenced to life in prison, no parole. And they were like, we want a new trial. And they were like, no, shut the fuck up, lock him up, we are done. Do you think we're done?
I'm done. I am done.
Just one more small little thing.
God, I hope he's dead. Well, I guess I know he's dead.
He got COVID.
Of course.
He got the vid. And he died.
Mm-hmm.
In jail. Well, I guess he wasn't in jail. But he died of cardiac arrest at the San Joaquin General Hospital in California on January 10th of 2022 at the age of 78. He was undergoing testing and he got COVID and passed, and he was still technically in custody of the California Department of Corrections and Rehab.
Good riddance.
They're probably like, how do we give him a sickness? Just like anything. Let's put him in the hospital.
Plenty of them.
Yeah, no shit. We're going to say that he has cancer. Does he have cancer? I don't know. He
does
died have cancer.
Of cancer.
And then they said he had COVID.
Yes.
So, he's annoying, basically, is what this boils down to. he inspired the 2010 film All Good Things. There were 3 episodes of Law & Order about him. A&E, of course, did some shit about him. There was a book about him called A Deadly Secret. A television movie called The Lost Wife of Robert Durst. ID did some miniseries about him. And then, of course, The Jury on HBO. Or Jinx. My bad. Whatever. I don't even know. My brain is mush after that. Like, because there's literally, if I wanted to, this episode could have been probably like hours long. Because there was just so much shit. So there's a lot of stuff that I didn't even say. Like, if you want to get into it, you could probably watch the HBO documentary and, like, that would be fine. There's so much stuff that I just didn't even talk about because I didn't want to.
I would not have. I would have just left.
So, Google him. Google him. Well, while Eric is breaking things, because he just stuck this into the candle and melted it, and now he's cleaning it out.
It's fine.
Give me it.
Don't touch it.
Give me it. Look
at it. Out of my face. I'm not going to tell you again. That's assault.
This isn't
assault. I told you like 5 times.
I done told you like 50 times. Yeah. If you're watching the video, you will notice that the names have conveniently turned around.
I don't know what happened.
So, I don't know what that's about, but...
I can't remember stuff. Oh, my God.
It's like Do your job.
Salem Witch Trials all over again.
Do your job.
I would like to give a big-time major shout-out to Derek and Cassie and Trevor and Rochelle and Brianna and Josh. Shout-out.
You look so excited. I don't even think you looked at the camera when you said it.
I was reading the sign. With the names on it. Cheat sheet.
Cheat sheet. It's magically turned around. The names are magically gone.
Movie magic.
Movie magic, my friends. So yeah, that is the case I never want to talk about ever again.